Paras Hazinu. Paras Hazinu goes through, obviously, of the entire song that goes all the way through. Now, the song starts off at the end of last week's parsha. Vayedaber Moshe ba'oznei kol kal Yisrael sdivrei ha'shir hazos ha'tumon. Moshe spoke out in the ears of all Bnei Yisrael the words of the shir until they finished. And then it goes, Hazinu ha'shmaim ha'zavadavera, etc. Yishmar ha'zim reifi. At the very end of the song, it says, Vayevo Moshe vayedaber kol divrei ha'shir hazos ba'oznei ha'am. So Moshe came and spoke it out, the words of the shir, to the ears of the people. So it's weird that it repeats the same thing. But then it says, Hu v'hoshea ben Nun. So two weird things. Number one, up above we didn't mention Yoshua. Number two, it's not even Yoshua, it's Hoshea bin Nun. Why are we calling him Hoshea if before this, the only time he was Hoshea is before the Meraglim, and after this, we don't ever see him as Hoshea. Obviously, the Sefer is called Yehoshua, not Hoshea. So what's pshat behind this? So Rashi says three big points. Number one, this is a special Shabbos. He calls it Diyuz Yugin. There were two leaders where the older leader gave permission to the younger leader to lead the nation. So that was the idea that was happening. It was the last Shabbos that was there. Second, and it was connected to the first, Moshe gave a meturgamon to Yoshua, a translator for Yoshua to have. Up until now, Moshe Rabbeinu had one thing, and Yoshua was the one who was doing everything else. Now a meturgman came in, so he could say a drusha in Moshe Rabbeinu's lifetime, and the people wouldn't say, while your Rebbe was alive, you were too scared to speak up. Now all of a sudden, you know, you're going to speak up. Now it is interesting. There's only two times that Yoshua speaks in the entire Torah. Two times he speaks, and that's at Egel Azov. He said, I thought that he said, he said right, and then Moshe Rabbeinu replied and he's like, nah, in kolenos kavura, in kolenos chalusha, kolenos enochi shomea, said that's not war cries. And the second time he spoke up is when Eldad and Medad got up and they said that prophecy that Moshe was going to die and Yeshua was going to bring them in. And he said, Adoni Moshe, my master Moshe, klaim, destroy them. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, that all of the people could be Nevi'im. I wish everybody could be Nevi'im over here. That was the line that he said over there. Both times Yoshua spoke up in his Rebbe's lifetime, he was knocked down. His Rebbe knocked him down, which is interesting to be able to think about. So it is weird over here. The Bali Tosos say that both Moshe and Yoshua were commanded to write down the Torah when it says, Kisvu Lachem. They say, cross Yoshua, call out Yoshua. So it's simply the kiyum of what Hashem told them to do. The entire Torah was written by Moshe Rabbeinu, but Yoshua helped him write Parshas Hazinu. That's the idea of what Yoshua was. That's how the Bali Tos understand the Rush, the Chizkuni. That's how they understand it. Yoshua was involved with this. But nonetheless, it seems to be a really interesting progression. It couldn't be that Moshe and Yoshua sang this song together, because then it would have said, Vayedabru. It says, Vayedaber. It's called Divrei Hashir Hazos. Plus, at the end of Vayelech, again, at the end of Vayelech, the wording is, Vayedaber Moshe Vazne Kol Kal Yisrael. Right? It clearly says, Vayedaber. It doesn't say, Vayedabru. In addition, right, I just put those both together. It just doesn't make any sense that Yoshua actually sang it out loud with Moshe Rabbeinu. That doesn't make any sense. Reverse says that here's what happened. Moshe Rabbeinu sang it to the people, but it was totally non-understandable, incoherent. Nobody understood what they were saying. So he went around to every shevet separately. Every single shevet separately, with Yoshua at his side telling them what he meant. Each one of them was able to explain the song to some people. Moshe took some, Yoshua took the others, and that's what it means. So first, he sang the song, and that's the end of Vayelech, Vayedaber Moshe Ozne Kol Kal Yisrael, etc. And then it says, Moshe came and he spoke it out to the ears of the people. Him and Hoshea ben Nun did as well. Yoshua helped him tell it over to the people. Sifzeh Chachamim says, Moshe sang it the first time, Yoshua repeated it to the people. Maybe that's what it means by he was giving him a Targum so that he could say it out loud. At first, Moshe Rabbeinu did it with his mighty voice, and his Talmud repeated it to show him how chashuv he was. That's the Sifzei Chachamim. Then the Tziv says that by this time, the Shechina had already left Moshe Rabbeinu's throat. He was no longer as strong as he was. He needed Yoshua to explain it to them. He had no ability to do it anymore, and that's why he's known as Hoshea. He's known as Hoshea because right now, he's not the chashuv Yoshua. He's just the servant of the master helping out his Rebbe. Rebbe needs help. I'm willing to go and help him. And therefore, he's known as Hoshea over here, bringing him back to what he needs to do. Now, the Abarbanel says that this song was told to the people three times. They sung Hazinu three times. First time when Moshe Rabbeinu first received the Nevuah, again, totally not understandable. Some of the people were there. Some of the people weren't there. So Moshe sang out immediately to them. That was at the end of Ayelech. Second time was to the elders and the officers, and that's this. The actual song is right over here. So the first time was, what is the wording over here? Hakilu Eli, Vayi Kechalos Moshe Lichtov is Divrei HaTorah Hazos Ad Sefer Atumam. That was the first time that he sang it. Later on is Be'oznei Kol Kal Yisrael. He did it in front of the ears of all Bnei Yisrael, everybody else that was there. And the third time is when Yoshua joined in. And that was the third time. That's the Abarbanel's pshat. The Abarbanel says three times it was said over the people. Malbim says four times. because Yoshua did it once after Moshe Rabbeinu did it three times. In fact, there's a Gemara in Erevin, you probably know it, a Nun Dala that says that the only way to remember Torah is to do something four times. You have to do it four times over, right? So that's what they ended up doing. They sang it four times to be able to get everybody out there. That's Seder HaMishnah. That's why Yoshua had to repeat it to them a fourth time over here. Ksava Kabbalah says, it doesn't matter. I don't care if it was twice, three times, four, who cares? The point is that Yeshua was involved in some way. That's the idea that Ksava Kabbalah says. Ibn Ezra says it was like Az Yashir. You know what Az Yashir was like? It's Machlokas in the Gemara. But some say that Az Yashir was saying, Az Yashir Moshe Avnei Yisrael, and then they repeat it, Az Yashir Moshe Avnei Yisrael. Other people say, Ashir Lashem Kigo Ga'ah, and then the people would say, Ashir Lashem Kigo Ga'ah. Susar Vo Ramav Ayam, Ashir Lashem Kigo Ga'ah. Right? Aziv Azim Raska, Ashir Lashem Kigo Ga'ah. The people would repeat that line. It's Machlokas exactly how it does. Ibn Ezra says that's what Yoshua did. Yoshua sang back after every time Moshe Rabbeinu, it was like Yoshua was doing the chorus over there. Or Chaim says something over here as well, but regardless, that's that. But now we have the third Chiddush. The third Chiddush of Rashi is, why is he known as Hoshea instead of Yoshua? Okay, we gave up Pshat from the Nativ Ready, he's the Talmud, but he says the following. He says, Lama korno karuo kan Hoshea. Why do we call him Hoshea? Lemor shlo zacha daito olav. He did not have any gaiva. Even though he's the leader, he didn't have any gaiva. Even though he was given greatness, he kept himself lowly as if he was at the times when he was Hoshea. He is the same lowly Hoshea as he was in the times of when, I guess when he should have been Yoshua, the ultimate leader. He made himself as humble as he possibly could be. And I think that's the Pashup shot over here. That's what happened over here. Rabbeinu Bachaya says it as well. They both quoted from the Sifri. The Shach quotes it, humility. What was Moshe Rabbeinu the most known for? Haya Anav Mikol Adam, right? Most humble of all people. Yoshua learned that line so well. The Mizrahi says, if you look in the Sifri, that's not necessarily what the Sifri says. He doesn't say humility. He remained a tzaddik now as when before he was in charge of the tzibor, he still remained a tzaddik. What does a tzaddik mean? He could be humble. That's a possibility. But it just means that he was a tzaddik. He remained a tzaddik. He didn't do anything wrong. Don't say to me like, oh, what's the big deal? When people become leaders, again, this is probably all out of ego, but yeah, corrupt too. You become somebody who's decided like, oh, now I want to do this. Now I want to do that. It was a problem. So in that sense, this is not the easiest thing in the world to be able to do. This is what he's saying over here. The Mizrahi says, no. He became a leader, yes.
Basically, in almost every part of his life, he was a leader, though, no?
Not before.
Prince, then like,
how do you know he's a prince?
Of Paro, no?
You're dealing with that medrash. I don't know. Yes, there's a medrash out there that's mentioned in the by the Talmud, the son of the Gro, Rav Avram, son of the Gro, what's it called? Rav Pe'elim. And there's that medrash in the Hakdama about what Yoshua was in the beginning of his lifetime. I don't know if that's a legitimate medrash. It's a really weird one. The fact that it's a connection between Oedipus and Moshe Rabbeinu's story and Yonah and puts the three of them together tells me that there's something up with that medrash. Something's really up with that. So I can't tell you that it's not true. It's just, I wish I would see it somewhere in a real medrash. Like the Rav Pe'elim mentions it in Hakdama, and it's in different print and everything. It could be that it was added on by some random guy. I can't be sure that it's actually that. And of course, Rav Chaim Kanievsky is the greatest in the world. He gives a gematria. Hoshea bin Nun. Hoshea bin Nun, without the Yod, is a gematria of 539. Which is the same gematria as Lo Zachacha Daito, which means he didn't have gaiva. Of course, because why wouldn't Reb Chaim Kanievsky be able to find it? Anyway, the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says, the Yoshua was a name of honor and greatness, which is worthy of being given to Yoshua when he was on his own. But when he's being mentioned along with Moshe Rabbeinu, it would make sense to take away his glorified name and put him under Moshe Rabbeinu, which is exactly why we call him Hoshea over here. He's Yoshua when he's Yoshua, but over here he's with Moshe. Okay, then we're going to call him Hoshea ben Nun. That's the idea. Ben Reverse says, at this moment when he sees that his Rebbe is dying and he was entering his master's position, he felt himself in the modesty of his youthful past when he was still Hoshea and not Yoshua. It's almost as if I don't feel worthy of taking over. Similar to the Anava piece that Rashi brought down, the Or HaChaim HaKadosh as well, he didn't feel like he was roi to be that guy to take over for his master Moshe Rabbeinu. Similarly, the Meshiv Devarim quotes Targum Yonason. Do you know why he got the Yod according to Rabbi Yonason, according to Targum Yonason, not Yonason ben Uziel? Yonason ben Uziel says he got it. Why? Because he was a huge Anav, and the letter Yud represents humility. Why the Yud? Yud is a tiny little letter. the smallest of the letters. That represents humility. Yeshua was the most humble of his students, deserved to have the extra yud. But now that he was going to become the leader of all of Klal Yisrael, he was no longer allowed to show humility. He had to show that he could lead the nation and be in charge. Now you're going to be in charge, Yeshua. Take away your yud. No more humility. You have to be a guy who's willing to fight. Now, we know Moshe Rabbeinu is the most humble person of all time. But Moshe Rabbeinu knew when he had to fight. Moshe Rabbeinu knew when he had to say no to certain people. He had to tell people what they had to do. Yeshua was taking away his yud because his only flaw was being an anav. So Yeshua took away the yud, says the Meshiv Devarim, so that he wouldn't be humble anymore. So he'd now be known as Hoshea. What's the weird part of that answer? How come from now on he's never known as Hoshea? If that's true, then he should never have a yud for the rest of his life. Maybe Moshe Rabbeinu is teaching him a lesson. Big guy, you have to be a strong man from now on in order to lead the people. But maybe Yeshua came back and said, okay, but I can't. Maybe that's what happened. I don't know. Maybe that's the issue. The Yeshua always was an anav and couldn't get it away. There is something interesting. The Chasam Sofer says, the Gemara in Temura Tazayin, that Yeshua did something wrong at the end of Moshe Rabbeinu's life. Moshe Rabbeinu said, is there anything you need from me? And Yeshua said, Rebbe, is there anything that you taught that I wasn't there for? Every shir you gave, I was there. There's nothing you could tell me that I don't already know. That line, crazy, right? But he said, there's nothing I could do that you're not going to be able to know. And because he said that, he lost 700 kal v'chomers and 1,400 alachos, or 300 alachos, whatever.
Because
but he lost
that line was too gaiva.
Because he had too much gaiva at that moment. It seemed to be a bit of a gaiva. Maybe that's why he lost the yud. Until that point, he was known as Yeshua. But here's the hint that they lost something. He lost the yud, meaning he lost all of that. I don't know, but if you say it's 700 kal v'chomers and 300 alachos, 700 plus 300 is 1,000. So I know it would be awesome if he lost an aleph, but there is no aleph in his name. So the yud is the 10, so maybe that's the closest thing to 1,000 that you can get, right? So you say like the 10 plus 100, I guess, right? The extra two zeros. But that's the reason why. That's the amazing thing of what happens over here. You got to be so careful because he lost the yud because of it. And Ibn Ezra says, nobody knew that his name was Yeshua. Nobody knew it. Why? Why did Moshe Rabbeinu call him Yeshua? We just said because of his humility. That was talking about his humility. But in Parshat Shot, why did he call him Yeshua?
Because Hashem told him to call him Yeshua.
But why? Why was that there? Because of the Meraglim. To keep him away from the spies, right? To keep him as far away from the spies as he possibly could. People didn't know that. It's not like he announced that. Guys, I want Yeshua to stay away from those 10 guys over there. I'm sending them all there, but I want him to keep them away. So he never told anyone. So his whole life he was known as Hoshea. No one knew him as Yeshua. He was never known. And he never told anybody. So when he announces himself to the people, he goes back to Hoshea. But what we know him of is as Yeshua. That's how everybody knew him.
After Moshe Rabbeinu dies, everyone is still calling him Hoshea?
I believe so. I think that everybody always called him Hoshea his entire life, at least according to this Ibn Ezra, right? They all called him Hoshea. Maybe that changed when he became a leader, because when you become a leader, you get a different name, you become something chashuv. Maybe that changed, but it seems not like this. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky understands this Ibn Ezra in another way, in Emes LeYaakov, but either way, it seems like that's what the Ibn Ezra is saying. So Miam Loi says just the opposite. Yeshua needed his yud back to give him a voice. He did. He became humbled by the fact that he no longer needed the yud, right? He needed the yud to get a voice. And over here, where he's finally made leader and he knows he has a voice now, says to Miam Lois, we could take away the yud and he doesn't need it anymore. He doesn't need that voice. So while they're saying that the yud was given to humble him, right, or taken away in order to humble him, whatever it is, he's saying that with the yud, Yeshua was able to speak. Without the yod, he wasn't able to speak. That's why he had to get it away. There's a Chasam Sofer that says the same. Ksav Sofer says he was mezake the rabbim here. And when you do that, right, you no longer need support. You don't need siyata dishmaya. If you do a schus for the rabbim, everything comes together with you. Tamidah says Moshe Rabbeinu purposely left out the yod. Sometimes we rely too much on siyata dishmaya. We expect God to take care of things for us. You know the whole story. I don't want to even like go into it. You know, the guy, and I know it's somewhat insensitive right now because of all the floods that are happening in Houston. But you know the story with the flood, right? The flood comes through and a guy comes in a big truck. He says, come into my truck. And he says, no, I'm waiting for God to save me. And then he goes to the second floor and a boat comes by and he says, come in. And he says, no, I'm waiting for God to save me. And then a helicopter comes by and he says, no, I'm waiting for God to save me. So he drowns in the flood. And he goes up to Shemayim and he says, why didn't God save me? And he said, I sent you a truck, I sent you a boat, I sent you a helicopter. What are you supposed to do? So this line, Tam Vida says, we rely way too much, as Rav Sternbach, too much on Siyata Dishmaya. But God will provide. God will take care. Well, there's got to be some form of Ishtadlus over here. Don't rely on your Yud, Moshe Rabbeinu was telling Yoshua. Too many times you're saying like, well, thank God I got this Yud. Without this Yud, I don't know where I'd be. It's like, no, you can do it yourself. What's that story? The story of like, it was never the shoes. It was always you the whole time. You know what I'm talking about? Oh man, I'm sure it's like a movie or something. Like if you only knew, like the guy kept thinking like, oh, I thought I needed these shoes. If it's only the shoes that made me so great. Without the shoes, and I'd say, it was never the shoes. The shoes were always a fake. It was always you the entire time. I don't know, it's like Cinderella, but with the mice never happened, you know, like something like that. And that's that. Chaim Volozhiner says the biggest curse is at the end of Sota. At the end of Sota, it goes through all the terrible things that are going to happen when Mashiach comes, that the generation's going to argue with their parents, that there's going to be so much brazenness, there's going to be all this stuff. It goes through curse after curse after curse. And then it says at the very end, well, who do we rely on? Avinu Shabbat Shemayim. Who can we rely on? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chaim Volozhiner says, that's also a curse. Because the people are sitting there and they're like, well, we can't do anything, so we'll just rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can't do that. You have to do something yourself. Says Chaim Volozhiner, the biggest curse is the fact that we're relying on Shemayim to take care of everything for us. We can't do that. The Kli Yakar says the only reason he was called Hoshea is that he would be saved from the Eitzos of the Meraglim. So therefore, when there were people alive from that generation, he was always susceptible to the people of the Meraglim, so he was called Yoshua. But by this time, they're all dead. Everybody was dead. So you could go back to Hoshea. He's no longer able to slip up. So granted, the 10 Meraglim died. But if anybody from that generation was alive, he could still be susceptible. He could still be humbled in front of them. So during their lifetime is Yoshua, but over here he's known as Hoshea. Again, but then why does it switch back? Right, what goes on over there? That I don't know, seemingly. Razin Meir is a very similar answer. He gave the Yud to Yoshua so that he would have a love for Eretz Yisrael. And as soon as he was committed to taking the nation in, he no longer needed the Yud. Because now the love for Eretz Yisrael was natural. The Yud brought him a love for Eretz Yisrael. Now he doesn't need it anymore. Now he's going in. But then again, then why do we call him Yoshua? The whole Sefer is called Yoshua. Why would that be? It should have reverted back to Hoshea the entire time. Chizkuni, Paneach Raza, and the Rosh say, when Yoshua first became Moshe's Misharis, his servant, is an interesting line. His name was changed from Hoshea to Yoshua because that's what kings do. I'm going to give you an example. Daniel, when he went to go work, and Hanani, Mishael, Vazario, when they went to work for Nebuchadnezzar, their names were changed. When Yosef went to go work for Paro, what did they call him in Mitzrayim? Called him Tzofnas Paneach. They changed his name. A servant of the king, when you become the servant of the king, you change your name. You're no longer that person. You're no longer Yosef. You're no longer Daniel, Hanani, Mishael, Vazaria. You're known as something different. Belshazzar was the name of Daniel, not Belshazzar, the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, but Belshazzar. And so too, Tzofnas Paneach was given over to Yosef. So according to these Rishonim, Chizkuni, the Paneach Raza, and the Rosh, they say that in order to forget his previous life, Hoshea was known as Yehoshua. But when he became king, he no longer went by his slave name, which was Yoshua. He went back to his real name, Hoshea. So again, same question. Why does it switch over? See, here the Paneach Raza says that maybe the reason why we call him Yoshua for the rest of the Tanakh is because we're so used to the name, right? It would be weird to switch it over to Hoshea. That's what they say, but it is a really, really strange thing. Levi Eschein and the Rebbe Reb Heschel, this is in the Chanukah Satorah, says, where did Yoshua get that Yud from? He got a Yud added onto his name. Where did he get it from? When Sarai turned to Sarah, the Yud complained to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said, because remember, Avram was turned to Avraham, right? Sarai was turned to Sarah. She lost the Yud, right? And it went over. So where did the Yud go? So the Yud complained in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Hashem said, don't worry, I'll give you over to somebody greater. And not greater, you shouldn't say that, but somebody else. And it went to Yoshua. The Yud went over there. This is Yerushalmi, Parak Beis Halacha Vav in Sanhedrin. That's what the Yerushalmi says. So Sarai, her Yud, went to Yoshua. So that's that. At the end of the first Parak of Brachos, we say that Sarah was named because she was the queen of the world. Sarai is like an individual princess. Sarah is the queen of the entire world. So let's go, okay? Presumably, that was only until her death. You can't be a queen after you die, right? So when did she get the name? When did she get the name? She died at the age of 127. 127. She got the name when she was 89. Okay, so 127 minus 89. She had the name for 38 years. Okay, 38 years. 89, 127. Therefore, the Yud was given to Yoshua for 38 years. The Meraglim happened in year 2 of the Midbar. This is year 40. 40 minus 2 is 38. So the Yud was only there for 38 years because it was missing from Sarah for 38 years. So it came back for 38 years. Now he's known as Hoshea again. The Yud's gone. You don't need the Yud anymore. Again, doesn't answer the rest of the time, right? But again, that answer from the Panei Akraz will go. But such a great chop, 38 years. Mali Omer says this shows how every word in the Torah and letter in the Torah is important. Even the Yud that was taken away from Sarai is going to come back so that it will come back somewhere. She'll lose the Yud, kilo devareku mikem, right? You'll take notice and notice that everything has something chashuv about it. That's the idea behind it. Okay. We're going to see. What's even stranger and how we're going to end this over here is that this is not the only time the Yoshua's name is changed around. We know about Hoshea. We know about Yoshua. Okay? This is the only time in the rest of Tanakh where Hoshea is known as Hoshea. Hoshea is one time known as Hoshea before in Shlach, when he's first sent out. Right? It says Moshe changed his name to Yoshua. It's Hoshea here, and that's it. Every other place, it's Yehoshua. That's how it's known as. Okay? It's automatically Yoshua. But in Devarim Gimel, Pasuk Chof Aleph, right over here, there is another place. Look what it says over here. Very, very similar. Gimel Chof Aleph is right here. That's Yehoshua Tzivesi. Yehoshua is spelled with an extra Vav at the end of his name. It happens there, and it's also in Shoftim, Perek Beis, Pasuk Zion, the only two times in Tanakh where Yehoshua is known with an extra Vav. Why is he known as an extra Vav? Says the Panei Akraz, he received 6 crowns. The crown of beauty, strength, wealth, wisdom, nevuah, and malchus. And because he got all 6, therefore we added on a Vav. Why over there? Because Yehoshua Tzivesi Boyzehi, I commanded Yehoshua at that time to be the king. At that time he had all 6 crowns, and that's that. And also in Shoftim, when we talk about his death, those are the two times that he's mentioned with an extra Vav. That's the second name change that Yehoshua has. There's a third. In Sefer Ezra, we talk about Sukkos. And it says that everybody kept Sukkos, ki lo nasa mimos Yeshua. It had not happened since the days of Yeshua. No hey. Yud, shin, vav, ayin. But no hey. Really, really weird. Right? So what's going on over here? So it says there are 3 reasons for this. Number one, even if he would have lived in the times of Yeshua Kohen Gadol, he wouldn't have been as great. Yeshua Kohen Gadol was one of the Asar Arugei Malchus, right? That was Yeshua, that was Yeshua ben Yotzadik, the Kohen Gadol. So that would be an absolute pella, first of all, that Yeshua wasn't greater than Yeshua ben Yotzadik, and that we're saying that if Yeshua lived in another time, he wouldn't be as great. That's ridiculous. He was there at Matan Torah. He was the servant of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's a ridiculous line, but that's one line, and that's why he lost the hay. Number two, even though he never did anything wrong, the Zohar says Yeshua never sinned in his lifetime. You know that? We have the list of 4. It's in Shabbos, Nun Hei, Mabez, and Bava Vasra, and Tezayin. The list of 4 are Binyamin, Kilov, the son of David, Yishai, the father of David, and Amram, the father of Moshe, that never sinned. According to this Zohar, Yoshua also never sinned. So that's that. But because even though he never sinned, he should never have married Rachav Hazona. Rachav was a bad woman for him to marry. And because he did this, she was not on his level. Therefore, he was punished and he lost his hay. Why there? I don't get it. I don't know. But number 3. He never requested that the Yetzer Hara be taken away from the people. Why? He could have granted, when he first came to Eretz Yisrael, you notice something? That when we first came to Eretz Yisrael, do you even know what day we came to Eretz Yisrael for the very first time? It's amazing, right? Why don't we have a chag celebrating the first time we went to Eretz Yisrael? Wouldn't that be the right thing to do? Let's celebrate. We got to Eretz Yisrael for the first time. Let's celebrate together. We don't know. It's the 10th of Nisan. That's when they walked in. Yud Nisan. It doesn't even say it in the pasuk. We have to darshan it. But it's Yud Nisan. Oh, wait. Maybe it does say in the Pasuk we darshan is from there. No, I don't think it did. I don't remember. But Yud Nisan is when they came in. So why don't we have a chag for it? Why don't we have any type of chag? The pshat is that Yoshua was supposed to daven as soon as they walked in Eretz Yisrael, get rid of the Yitzhar from the people. Make them never do Avodah Zarah ever again. And he never davened it. And because he didn't daven it, he lost the hay. That's why he lost the hay. Imagine that. Can you imagine that? It's unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. The Chidah, the Marsha says this as well, that had he davened for this, that the Yitzhar be taken away, Beis HaMikdash never would have been destroyed. There would have been no gullus for all of Klal Yisrael. So it's all Yoshua's fault that we had the Beis HaMikdash destroyed and that we have gullus. This whole Parsha and Song of Hazinu that we just read is all about the curses that happens to Bnei Yisrael when they go into Galus. This song only exists
because
Yoshua didn't daven for Klal Yisrael. Had he davened, Hazinu would never exist. Over here, we take away the Yud. Over there, we take away the Hey. It's the same concept. Anything that's written in Navi is hinted to in our Torah. The reason why we take away the Yud over here is to tell you that Yoshua did something wrong, and that's the reason why Hazinu is there. Hu Hoshea ben Nun. Hoshea is the reason why this song even exists, because he didn't daven for us, and therefore over there, we take away the actual Hey. If Yoshua is blamed for something in the Torah that has to be hinted somewhere, this is it. That's the idea behind it. Especially because, what was Yud given to him for? Again, we said the Yud was given to him, said he would have a love for Eretz Yisrael. Remember, that's the line. A love for Eretz Yisrael. When he didn't show his love for Eretz Yisrael, he didn't make him to a chag, he didn't daven for Klal Yisrael, he didn't ask for the Yitzhar to be mevatel, the Yud was taken away from him. And that represents the loss that he got and the loss that we got from having such a thing. It's an amazing, amazing idea. So what we did today is we first, number one, said how they taught us the people, how Yoshua actually spoke with Moshe Rabbeinu to tell it over to the people itself. Then we said how many times it was told over to the people, 3 times, 4 times, well, however many, it didn't matter, right? But that's the idea behind it. Then we said, why is his name changed to Yoshua? We gave the answers of Rashi and the Mizrahi, who says that's an argument of what Rashi is saying over here. Dor HaChaim HaKadosh, the Meshach Devarim based on the Targum Yonasan, the Chassam Sofer, the Ibn Ezra, the Miyam Loez, the Tam Bedas, Rav Sternbach over there. We have the Kliyaka, the Raza Namer, the Rishonim, the Chizkuni, the Panech Raza, and the Rush. Levi Eschein, about the 38 years, which is by far the coolest word. The Mali Omer, show what he proves from that. And then finally, why Yoshua was missing a Hey later on, but he's missing a Yud over here to show that he lost that extra Schus of Eretz Yisrael. That's what we'll stop with, guys. We'll stop with that. Let's...